everyone, and welcome to this debut edition of the Queen Street Posse. My name is Sandra Ruth, and I am joined by the lovely, the talented, the wonderful Jennifer Louise today. Jen, how are you?
Blushing. I'm really well, thank you, darling. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. Like, I've been absolutely buzzing for this since we started talking about doing it. I can't believe this day is finally here. You and me recording
together.
Can you actually
believe it?
A proper show. Like,
madness. Like, to think this was like, well, this may have been like a couple of months now that this has been in the works, in the back of our minds.
I would say so. I would say so. And, you know, I'm trying to remember when the epic conversation that we had over those few days when we were trying to come up with a podcast name and just throwing every available option out there. And then from your brain sprung Queen Street Posse, and there could be no other choice.
Honestly, that was a really weird like 24 hours in my life.
You were just in pun mode though. I was loving it.
Honestly, I think I was just sitting there and I was like in my bed for half of it, like just think of any like staple or tag team or something, a faction that you could think of and just find a female word in it.
And this, like, I don't know, this one just couldn't be more perfect for us, I feel, just because I mean, you've been a fan of wrestling since the era of the Mean Street Posse, right? Our lords and saviors. And I have not been. I only started watching wrestling as an adult, but because I do retro ITR with Kenny over on Inside the Ropes Patreon, cheap plug, Inside the Ropes, or patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. Screwed up my own plug right away. But, you know, since I do retro over there and I've been going through the 90s for about 4 years now, or now the year 2000, I actually have gotten to live that era more recently, which is kind of crazy, right? So it's interesting to kind of see those things as an adult. And I think that like blending of current and retro conversation is just kind of perfect for us because we come at it from very different viewpoints.
Absolutely. I mean, who thought that Pete Gass would be such a prevalent figure in our lives?
I feel like Pete Gass is pivotal in the history of the World Wrestling Federation.
Our Lord and Savior, Pete Gass.
Exactly. We will exalt him on high. But no, I'm really looking forward to getting to chat wrestling with you every week. And it's been kind of a big week as far as WWE goes. I mean, I say big week. I feel like this draft has been slightly underwhelming for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but it is the draft week in WWE. How much of it have you been watching? And like, what are your thoughts coming out of SmackDown and then Raw last night?
Well, I've watched SmackDown live because I have the luxury of being off on a Saturday. So when it's on at 1 a.m, it's not really an issue to watch. But Raw, I just kind of caught up on today. Which is Tuesday, because I don't have the luxury to stay up, if I'm honest, on a Monday. Do you know what? I love a draft. Like, I'm just like that way, like any gimmick, Sandra, any gimmick that's happening.
And I'm kind of the same, right? Like, it draws you in because you just kind of want to find out what's going to happen.
Absolutely. I will agree with you. There was actually way more brand switches than I feel like there has been. And like maybe last year or so, like way more. Obviously, because like there was a lot on like when they did like Talking Smack and they kind of did some names on that as well. But when I was going through it, I was like, yikes, a lot of people did switch. And it feels as if like not normally like, or what I would feel is they would do like bigger switches as opposed to the kind of like smaller switches that they've done this time around. I don't know. Like, I think obviously, like with the tag, it's like switching brands.
Well, yeah, that's one of the crazy things is obviously the New Day were the SmackDown Tag Team Champions and the Street Profits were the Raw Tag Team Champions, and they just kind of swapped belts last night, which the lineage of those belts, if you care about title lineages, then it's an absolute nightmare. I'm not someone that really cares as much about that as I guess some of the historians amongst us. But I can see where that's going to make it just a nightmare when you're looking at title histories and that kind of thing. And it is kind of interesting to trace them back. But one of the themes coming out of the draft for me that I know you and I are both not fans of is all of the breaking up of tag teams that's been going on. And I feel like we've seen it in years past, but does this year feel more egregious to you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely just been a kind of, I don't know, like I can't pussyfoot around this anymore. The New Day split.
The New Day split
was just like, I'm sorry, that was just heartbreaking for me. Like, I understand that there is potential. I get it. And I see where everyone's like moaning about it. But for me, just to see my absolute dream man, Big E, be that hurt and that upset, I didn't need that. I didn't need that on my Friday night.
I didn't need it on my Friday night either. And I was watching SmackDown Live along with you, and sadly not with you in the same room, which would have been lovely. But we were chatting during the show. And when they broke the New Day up, I can't say that I was surprised because there had been rumors of it, but I was really hoping that the rumors weren't true. Because for years, I've been saying that love and friendship must prevail when it comes to the New Day, right? And WWE seems to have a tendency to treat tag teams as like a potential singles feud, right? Like you've seen like Edge and Christian were a tag team and they were great and they were awesome and they were brothers, but everyone's like, when are they going to break up and fight? The Hardys right now, I'm just thinking of the tag teams that are together in my, mm-hmm. you know, retro mm-hmm. ITR journey, but you know, when are the Hardys? When are we going to get brother versus brother? And I mean, I know that down the line we do get those things. I don't know details because I haven't seen them yet, but it's strange because they put tag teams together. You can look at, you know, even current ones, like when Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens were best friends and they were awesome and they were a tag team and everything was great. We were all waiting for the split. Sasha and Bayley as tag team champions mm-hmm. were awesome, but everyone was kind of waiting for the split to happen. And yeah, it's this weird thing that, like, why does wrestling hate love?
Do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head. It's kind of weird. Like, I always think it's like WWE do this thing where it's like they will get two really good like singles people, like really stand out mm-hmm. singles people, and then all of a sudden they'll just go, oh, you're a wee tag team now. Like, for example, Cesaro and Nakamura.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just because you haven't figured out how to write them, you know, as a good singles thing, like, why? Like, that does not automatically mean, like, oh my God, we don't know what to do, put them together. Do you know what I mean?
They do things like that, and they put Cesaro with Nakamura, which I like them as a team just fine, and they're starting to grow on me, right? Like, I mean, I sometimes like when unlikely tag teams come together, like Sheamus and Cesaro as the Bar ended up being a really great tag team, mm-hmm. and that came from an unlikely alliance. Danny Burch mm-hmm. and Oney Lorcan were rivals, and they came together to be a tag team, and now they're great, right? But it kind of baffles me that they do that and they put these singles people together to make a tag team, like Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke now. Like, why are they a team? Because blonde, I guess? Question.
But then it's like, but then you'll take two people like the Iconics and you'll split them.
And Heavy
like,
Machinery, and you'll split them. And what are we doing here?
I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. Like, I mean, all for, like, the Iconics, obviously the chat is that they want to push
Peyton Royce.
Billy. No, they want to push Billy.
They want to push
Billy?
I thought they wanted to
push Peyton. Oh, no, my God, Peyton. Single. Sorry. No, you're right. Sorry. I was just like, no. I'm thinking, and then I was like, no, because Billy was all like not being butthurt about it and stuff.
Yeah.
But they want to push Peyton. So I kind of get that. And that is a very exciting thing for her. And, you know, you want that. But my God, they were so good. Like, you know, and they were really like one of the standout women's tag teams for me. Like, just like their mic skills, like, you know, everything like that. They were so exciting to watch. I was just like not ready for that. And then you club together. Like, I feel bad for Mandy Rose. Like, I'm kind of like, I feel she gets just put from like pillar to post. And I'm like, man, like, she's good as well. Like, on the mic and everything like that. I mean, I could see her do a good singles run. I would have loved to seen more with her notice.
Well, I think she and Otis had such a good thing together. And that's another, you know, that's another team or pair or relationship that was split up that I don't understand why you would want to split them. And I know that they're blaming it on The Miz in storyline because he got Mandy Rose moved because revenge and Money in the Bank briefcase or whatever they're doing. But it's baffling to me because they had such a good thing with Mandy and Otis. And then you didn't even get the drama of a breakup in that relationship.
Totally. But that makes you wonder, because like, remember when, sorry to cast everybody back to that horrible time when like the large releases, like list of releases uh-huh. came, and they did release the women that wrote the Mandy Otis story.
Yes.
I wonder if it's maybe because like, oh gosh, where do we follow it up from that? You know, do you know what I mean? Like, the person who's actually originally created it probably would have had like the idea how to take that going forward. They get rid of that person. Is there anyone basically there now who who can carry that story as well as the original creator would have had. I don't know. Like,
I mean, maybe that speaks to if you have a creator on your staff, especially a female creator on your staff who's writing the most over storyline in WWE, maybe don't fire that person. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there as an idea. I know it's crazy talk.
Oh, you controversial thing, you.
I'm just saying that maybe if you have someone who's supremely talented and doing a great job and getting people invested in Mandy Rose and Otis together as a team, which, I mean, on paper a year ago, would you have thought that that would be one of the best storylines WWE has done recently?
Heck no. Even when I started to see it at first, I was like, eh. And then I was like, nah, I'm into it.
So into it. This. And it was a romance that was A, consensual, B, it wasn't like Mandy was treating him like shit for being fat or anything like that. It was like they actually had love for one another.
Absolutely.
You had the evil baddie Sonya Deville being jealous about losing her friend and stuff, but it was never about like, I don't know, it didn't veer into a lot of the really gross tropes that WWE can go into with romance storylines. And I think that's part of why it resonated with people was that they didn't lean on those crutches. It was just a nice romance, you know? Yeah. And sometimes you just want a nice romance in your life.
Exactly. It was that wee bit of light that we all deserve, really.
Exactly.
Especially during that time. I was like, you know, just don't take the nice things away from us, please.
No.
The world's hard.
The world's taken away plenty of nice things from us. We would like to have a few on our television, please. Thank you.
Totally.
And when it comes to the New Day especially, that one is the one that hurts the most for me just because those guys have been together for so long. They've always spoken about how they want to continue working together. I guess I've been basically trying to talk myself out of being completely devastated by it. And there are a couple silver linings that I can think of, because if they feel that the New Day need to be separated or split or on different brands in order for Big E to become the single star and win the world the way that I would like him to, because I do want him to win the world. My dream right now is for Big E to beat Roman Reigns. Like, that would be my dream. Not immediately, but like down the road, I think he could absolutely take up that mantle and be brilliant at it. And that's, you know, all of my hopes and dreams coming true in a big, meaty men slapping meat sort of match. But if they feel that the New Day need to be separate for that to happen, I prefer they do it this way than to have Big E turn heel on his friends.
Oh, gosh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
At least this way, they can still be friends. They can still see each other at pay-per-views. I think it gives us the opportunity to see some cool moments. Like, I've almost talked myself into it being kind of a good idea. Like, you know, the whole, how can I miss you if you won't go away? Like, I think we'll appreciate those appearances a little bit more if we see them together in, like, at Survivor Series, if they have a confrontation, or in the Royal Rumble, if they get together and like do New Day Rocks or something, like the way Too Cool danced at Royal Rumble 2000. Totes. Like, we could get that kind of a thing. So this is, you know, maybe an on-air therapy session for me saying that at least they didn't turn Big E heel, because I think it's important to have a stable like that, that kind of displays friendship and displays them supporting each other, like especially a stable of three non-stereotypical black men being on top of the world. I almost just said World Wrestling Federation, but being on top of WWE for as long as they have been, I think that's super, super cool. So like, in a way, if it had to happen, I'm glad it happened this way, but I'm still really upset about it.
Oh yeah. No, and you know what? I completely resonate with that theory. I really, really do. I think there was a lot of times as well during the, like, obviously everyone was talking about it online and stuff. I didn't think it was going to happen, purely from, I know this actually sounds a bit weird, but from a business perspective, like the merch sales for New Day, like stuff like that, I just kind of thought, do you know what? And plus as well, I've got this thing where it's like sometimes when it's the most obvious thing, which let's face it, it would have been an obvious thing. There's been talk of the Big E push for, you know, it's been rife
a
for
while.
A long time now. Obviously, with like Kofi and Xavier being out and injured and stuff, it was the time really for his push. It was kind of obvious, like, for it. And I just thought, I'm going to give it this, like, do you know what? Maybe this is the thing that everyone's like building up for, this big negative thing. And then when it doesn't happen, it's like, you know, they came back and it's just like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, just give everybody that wee kind of thing. Mm-hmm. However, saying that, if that is the way the route they would have gone down, then you would have had to turn Big E heel. So I kind of, I don't know. I'm working through some things, Sandra, right?
I'm also working through some things right along with you. So I'm wondering, I mean, speaking of their merch, I wonder if this is their way to still sell New Day merch and still have them be able to do ads together. Like they could still sell Tostitos or whatever they want to do.
An interesting thing as well, because they've just started doing they've been doing it a wee while now, but like, you know, their podcast kind of thing, mm-hmm. the YouTube thing where they've got all that going on. I wonder as well if this is like maybe a kind of subtle, like with the whole chat of like, you are not allowed third party things, right. you know, I wonder if this is maybe like just a kind of, not a kind of way to like stop people doing that, like without sounding so negative about it, you know. But then again, you see like Lana, they're talking openly about her TikTok thing just now. Like, you know,
I mean, that's like literally her whole character right now is I am good at TikTok and do dances. Like,
yeah,
that's
so
about it.
I don't know. It's and then they're saying like, okay, you guys need to stop this. Like, it's confusing, really. But who knows?
It is confusing. I mean, it feels like they don't necessarily want them to stop. It's that they figured out that it is a good marketing and promotional tool for WWE, so they want to have their hands on it, you know?
That's exactly it. They want it as their intellectual property. That's exactly what it
is. And so, and then people like Paige who say, yeah, did you see her on Twitter where someone asked, like, where did you get drafted? And she said, Twitch.
Yes, I did. Well, did you not see the thing she was posting? She was like, I've been talking to unions or like mm-hmm. looking into unions. And I was like, what?
I know. That's been very interesting to follow her and that whole saga on Twitter. But no, I mean, I guess we'll see how Raw and SmackDown handle all of these tag teams being split up and everything, because they're going to have to put together more tag teams if they want to even have any teams to fight for contention. Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea what they're going to do, but I don't understand why some of them are broken up. Like, if the New Day one actually seems to have more of a plan behind it than like breaking up heavy machinery, or I mean, Natalia and Lana are split now, and they had them sort of like split on Raw and now they're on different brands. And I'm not going to lie, like Natalia and Lana as a tag team, I was a little bit more into than like Lana being number one contender to Asuka. But
yes, absolutely. Like, I could see that. And do you know what? Like, the thing is, as well, like, I make no secret of it. I love Natalia. I can't really tell you why, but I do. I love her. Like, I just think she's great. And, you know, for her to get like that kind of, I know it sounds so daft, but that kind of spotlight, because obviously WWE do think highly enough of Lana on the mic, especially, you know, to be a talking piece and stuff. Like Natalia, yeah, fair enough, like her mic skills aren't necessarily the best.
She's awful at acting.
Right now,
I know that you love her and you can love her, but like sometimes it's almost endearing how terrible her acting is.
But that's why I think I love her, because I just think she's just an absolute wee angel. I just want to wrap it up and know that she could put me in a sharpshooter and that'd be the end of it. But like, I just genuinely thought, do you know what? This is something actually really fun. We're seeing a really playful, fun side to Natalia that's not Natalia's idea of fun and playful, which was like, let's put cat ears on. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I actually was like, I'm kind of into this. Like, I was digging it, but...
That's the thing. I was actually kind of into Team Boat. Like, I was actually kind of into Team Boat. I loved their fashion.
The boat thing just cracks me up.
I loved their boat thing. It's just, it's so over the top and stupid that I was kind of getting into it. And I feel like, you know, being an over the top Instagram influencer is exactly the kind of annoying character that works, right?
Like, absolutely.
It seems to just totally work. And it works for them, especially because Natalia has always been Little Miss Instagram and Lana is Little Miss TikTok right now, right? And so it seemed true to their characters, and they were just like so properly irritating about it that I thought it worked perfectly. And I'm going to use that to transition into someone else who is properly irritating to most of the WWE fan base, who I'm a big fan of and who I know you're a big fan of.
Sure.
And who did not return on Raw last night, but rumors have it that she was backstage at Raw last night and maybe returning soon. Our queen, All Red Everything, Eva Marie, is set to return to WWE. And people are big mad, Jen, and I'm here for it.
I'm like that. I'm like, these people just need to just pipe down. This is going to be a good thing. And this is like, honestly, this is where I see the Lana like coming out of her, like if she's now being singles or whatever, this is going to be the feud for me, because Eva Marie was the original influencer, like, you know, out with things. Like, she was the one who was doing all like the hair extension, like plugs, the you know, no, I don't know if she did a tummy tea, but you know what I mean, like she was but doing,
she does
all
like
the
all her fitness
and
stuff and like clothing lines and all that.
She
kind
was
of stuff.
She was just the original one before she was even like set foot in the ring. Like, she was getting the one that was like on the cover of like Maxim and stuff,
because well, they pushed her you so know? Hard on Total Divas before she even really like could wrestle or was able to wrestle, and because they were trying to push Total Divas so hard, they had Eva Marie and JoJo just like show up, right? And like, she wasn't ready to wrestle at that point. She admits she wasn't ready to wrestle at that point, but she was a great character because everybody hated her.
Absolutely. And do you know what? See that last run that she did with the whole excuses of like, you know, like why she wasn't competing. I thought that was genius. I really did. Like, I always said that I wanted that if I ever wrestled, that would be my gimmick, is like I would be a high flyer that's too scared to do high flying moves.
Absolutely.
Like, you would literally climb to the top rope and then be like, or like get up and just be like, no.
Like, the just voice like of Drew Garlic in your head being like, no flying, like that, no top rope.
It's like, no, to the mat with you.
No, it's perfect. And because her journey in WWE, I think, has been really interesting. And it's, she seems to be kind of a, like a holdover from the Divas era, when the Divas era wasn't the cool thing to be, right? And that's why I find Eva Marie so interesting as a character, kind of similar to the Bellas, who ended up being quite good and quite influential. And I would call them legends in WWE, and I don't really care who knows
absolutely.
It, because I think they're wonderful. But I don't know, I find her so fascinating. And I know I talked about it, you know, years ago when she was in the company, but, you know, for a long time, because how much of the actual like Divas era did you watch?
Oh, quite a lot.
Quite a lot, quite right? Because I think you saw more of it than I did, since I kind of came into wrestling in 2010 and wasn't like hardcore into it till 2011. So I saw, you know, some of the Divas era until Stephanie McMahon invented women's wrestling in 2015. And so, but like by that point, people were getting kind of tired of the models being champion, right? Like Kelly beating Beth Phoenix was not well received at that point. Mm-hmm. And Eva Marie seems to be a character that was brought in to highlight that, no, like there is a place for diva characters in this company. And I would say Mandy Rose too, to some extent, but she's treated a little bit more seriously, and I think she is a better wrestler too. But Eva just managed to harness that heat so perfectly, and her match with Bayley in NXT, where, you know, the company was behind her and she got Lil Nate to be the ref and Nia Jax was her enforcer on the outside, and Bayley was very much the underdog champion at that point, even though there is no way in hell Eva Marie should be beating Bayley. But the idea that what if she did, because the company is so behind her, I was on tenterhooks for that match.
Absolutely. And this is just like the actual, like, why she's such a good character. Like, I feel really sorry for the heat that girl got, like, because do you know what? It got personal. It got really personal. And how she managed to, like, just shut off from that and be like, right, cool, straight and narrow, props to her as a person.
She stays quite positive on social media and stuff, too.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, she's amazing. Like, but, like, the thing is, you really think about it, like, who in the kind of modern times, like, and I will go like between like male and female here, like who has had that much like just instant genetic heat, like where you're just like, I hate, the only person I can kind of think of is Corbin. Again, somebody who's not a wrestling background, who has been brought into it and pushed. Like, do you know what I mean?
And it's, I feel like people actually care more about Eva Marie than they do Corbin. You know,
I
feel like they're more invested in hating her than they have been invested in hating Corbin. I think you're right that it's similar, because the only other person that got so vehemently booed that way is Roman Reigns, like winning the Royal Rumble in 2015. That's the kind of heat Eva Marie was getting too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it's amazing. And the thing is like, that's what, as much as people like were getting really, really annoyed about it, it's the thing that kept getting them back. Like whenever she was there, like if she wasn't, like they'd be like, you know, that way you're missing something, as much as like people would try and deny it. Like people want that villain. People want somebody to really hate within wrestling.
Absolutely. And I feel like they're trying to kind of do it, or they have tried to do it with Lana, and they have tried to do it with like with Mandy to some extent when she was the golden goddess and she was being kind of a dickhead about it. But I just don't think anyone's captured it the way Eva did. And I think it was just the perfect storm of like coming in through Total Divas. People kind of equated her with a Diva Search winner that didn't love wrestling and didn't come from the business. Cause you know, there's still that ingrained thing of if you don't really love wrestling and it's not your whole heart and soul, then you shouldn't be here. And I just think that's insane because do you think Brock Lesnar loves wrestling and it's his whole heart and soul? Nah. Like, nah.
I would not like to comment on anything to Brock Lesnar because I'm terrified of him.
I think he wants to live on a farm with Sable and their kids. And
to be fair, I think that like sounds fantastic. Right? I'm honest. Like, I'm not even joking. I'd be like, gosh, sign me up.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's one of those things where, like, I think that you can have wrestling as your job. And you can also do other things out with wrestling, and that can be okay. And if you can use those other things out with wrestling to fuel your wrestling character, people can have multiple interests. You know what I mean? And exactly. So I am basically very excited for the return of Eva Marie. I hope that they can try to harness what they had before. I think I was gutted when she got that wellness policy violation and her SmackDown run was cut short because, like you, I loved the excuses, the wardrobe malfunction and her tweaking her ankle, being stuck in traffic.
I know. I mean, that is genius.
It's so good with the voiceover and the grandiose presentation and the treating her like a big star, and then you don't get the match. And then when you finally get the match, it feels like comeuppance, right? Like it feels like something big has happened. It feels like when someone, you know, it felt like when The Rock rock bottomed Stephanie finally on Retro like a few weeks back. It's just like, ha, yes, someone got their hands on Stephanie McMahon. I feel like Eva Marie has that same kind of energy and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. Plus, if they carry this, if they manage to carry like what they had prior to her leaving, because that was like, what, 2017?
16, I think.
16. Oh gosh, where's this time gone?
I know, right?
So scary. But you know, if they can harness that energy that they had then, which I genuinely think like the fans will 100% give back, like you know, people are still writing about this.
Well, because they could actually continue the gimmick that she had.
Absolutely, you know? And it's just like, well, I've came back, I was doing Hollywood, you know, there's so much they can run with this. You know, if they can harness that, then what a good character to help get younger, you know, like kind of more people over, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just, it's a, such an invaluable commodity to the WWE, like that character. And, you know, I, for one, cannot freaking wait.
I am a hard same, whether she's a manager, whether they have her be a manager who occasionally wrestles. Maybe she can team up with Billie Kay and form an agency where they manage people or something, because can you imagine the two of them together?
I was going to say, could you imagine the chat?
Exactly. I want to see Eva Marie and Zelina Vega like jabbing at each other. Like, I just, I don't know, the possibilities are endless for me and I'm really excited.
Same.
But we also have some listener questions from the internet, from the tweet that you put out. So I'm scrolling through. We don't have time to answer all of them, but I'm just going to pick a few here.
How funny was that picture?
Oh my gosh, so good. If you're not following us on Twitter, which you definitely should be, at SandraRuthITR, @_JenLouise_, Jen has photoshopped our bodies, or our heads, onto the Mean Street Posse and Shane McMahon. No, can you imagine photoshopping our bodies onto the Mean Street Posse?
I've been working out during lockdown.
Exactly. I'm saying, like, my arms have never looked better.
Some tan you've got, Sandra.
Exactly. I know, that's tanner than I've been in probably the past like 15 years. I'm an absolute vampire and I've just come to accept that. And so, you know, trying to ward off the skin cancer where I can. But Rory McNellis wants to ask, and this is a question for you, Jen, if you witnessed some of the Attitude Era moments today for the first time, kind of like if you were watching the way I'm watching the Attitude Era, do you think you still would have become a fan of the WWF product, like specifically when it comes to their portrayal of women and stuff?
Yes. And I know that that is probably a very unpopular, especially female thing, but I would have. When I was a kid and I was watching the Divas and stuff like that, I mean, what I saw was empowered women. Like, really, if I'm honest, like, they were up there, they were confident, they were, you know, they protruded this, like, I am like, I mean, there's absolutely more to life than being sexy and looking fantastic aesthetically, as they all did. But do you know, that way, just to see that confidence, fair enough, like, as a kid as well, even to this day now, I'm not really that much of an in-ring person. I've never trained in my life. So sometimes I do really feel like, oh, I can't really comment, like, properly, like, genuinely for myself. So for me, it's more about the character, and it's more about what people are, like, what they're giving out, like, that kind of effervescent, you know, personality. And to me, they all looked so confident. So I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. So, you know, just to see that on a screen as, like, a kid, I was like, that's cool. They look like they know, are in control. They look like they know what they're doing. I loved it. And, you know, I still watch it back. Fair enough, yeah, there's moments that make me cringe, but I still love it. I still love it.
Well, that's, and I know the question wasn't for me, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I can. One of the interesting things...
It's your show.
It's my show. I can do what I want. But one of the interesting parts of watching the Attitude Era as an adult, the way that I am, is that you always hear about, you kind of hear two things about the Attitude Era, right? It was when wrestling was really great and exciting and all the big stars were there and nobody cares now. And you also hear the treatment of women was terrible. And there are a lot of storylines where the treatment of women has been terrible, right? Like Tori lying to Kane about X-Pac and then, like, getting stolen for a Christmas vacation with X-Pac and then accusing men of violating her, but it turns out it was all a ruse so that she could just get back at Kane to be a jerk. That is probably one of my least favorite storylines in all of wrestling, because it is so problematic for so many reasons that we don't have time to get into. You know, Terry's fake miscarriage, accusing D'Lo Brown, not a great time for women. There are also women's storylines that are very empowering. Sable, actually, watching Sable, not once she turned heel, I think it just kind of turned stupid and got annoying. But the original Sable Mark Miro split was Sable standing up for herself. And yes, it was about sexualizing her, but it was about sexualizing her on her terms.
Her terms, you know? Exactly. It was the,
like,
same
Trish Stratus right now. Yeah, like Trish Stratus is coming out with TNA right now. She loves to stick her tits in people's faces and sexualize herself because she worked hard for her body and she loves to show it off. China just posed for Playboy and gave this incredibly empowering speech about how much that meant to her.
Deborah in a, like, a kind of managerial role, like, taking on the way she used to speak to people, like, do you know what I mean? Like for me, I was looking at these women and I'm like, yeah, man, like, they've got it going on. I loved it.
Yeah, so it does frustrate me when, you know, when we don't get women's wrestling feuds and when Stephanie's the champion for so long because they don't have any female wrestlers. But right now, Lita's the champion and she just had this little mini feud with Jackie that I thought was great. I would love to see it drawn out. I'm upset that it doesn't mean more because Lita's very over as a wrestler. Mm-hmm. People aren't chanting, mm-hmm, we want puppies at Lita, right? Like, they're just like, yeah, Lita's cool. Lita's the girl we want to hang out with. Like, we want to go and have a drink with her because she seems really awesome. So there are female characters on the show who are definitely empowered, but I think there are so few of them, and it's still very much put in a sideshow box. But I don't think to say that the Attitude Era was, like, all terrible to women is necessarily fair. There's a lot of trash that I get.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, there's some storylines that you just look back at and you think, oh my God. Like, do you know what I mean? But I think all in all, like, as a child, like, watching it, I was like, these women to me were really cool. And as far as, like, what they portrayed on screen, they portrayed people that were happy and confident and could stand up to men. And, you know, like, when I don't know, I loved it. I did love it. So no, I still do. I watch it back with fond memories.
As well you should. Dave wants to know, what is the moment/match in wrestling that you go back and watch again, and why do you like that particular moment/match? So is there one in particular, or are there a couple that you go back and watch regularly?
Do you know what? I don't go back and watch, like, too much too often, because there's that much happening.
There's so much happening all the time.
I know that it's just, like, to be honest, it's quite overwhelming. Like, now I'm actually at the point where, and I'm pretty sure you're the same, where you're actually like, okay, I need to start weeding out what I'm going to watch, like,
100%,
on a kind of on the reg. Like, and you know, sometimes I want to watch other TV. So I'm like, it's just like, it's crazy. But I would say one match that I do always kind of, yeah, that I'll go back to that one pay-per-view is the, or the match like was the street fight with, sounds so random, but the street fight between Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle.
I love that street fight.
Yeah, at King of the Ring. Like I watch that fairly regularly. I watch that pay-per-view fairly regularly. Like I just something about that. You know, it's kind of weird, like the way they hyped it up. I'm pretty sure they hyped it up as like, you know, the, like not the first street fight ever, but you know what I mean? Like it was like, oh my gosh, like they are bringing this, when there was actually at that time quite a lot of matches like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it was more to do with the fact that it's like, I know Shane had been in like quite a few like mental matches. Angle, it just showed a different kind of side to him. Like I love Kurt Angle at that period of time. I hated him at that time as a kid. And I think now as an adult, realizing just how brilliant he was, I love to go back and watch and be like, oh man, like you were daft for like not liking Kurt Angle, but like, do you know what I mean? It's like you change and you kind of realize and you appreciate what he was doing actually. So yeah, I go back and watch that. That is pretty cool. Plus, I mean, you can't go wrong with that spot that the glass doesn't smash.
Like, oh yeah, you know what I mean? I get to watch that next year. I think I'm really excited about that.
2001.
So next year, I have seen that match, but like I'm excited now because I get to like watch it properly in context.
The build up, I'm pretty sure they do make it out to be like the first ever street fight, like, or something like that,
which is crazy because we've seen street fights and stuff, but I know that this one's like it's big and epic and all that stuff. I would say for me the match that I've seen the most times is Sasha versus Bayley in Brooklyn.
Classic.
Favorite match of all time. I can basically recite it to you. I won't because that would be really boring. You should just watch it. But like there are so many spots in that match, like Sasha stomping on Bayley's hand and like when she dives over the ref and does the tope and like and when she's like stomping her in the corner and Bayley's like, no, I you can't talk to me this way, and really fires up and like takes totally. Her place atop NXT, and I'm going to cry just thinking about it because it's so good. And then the other moment that I watch kind of often, I think just because I was there live, is Mark Henry's retirement speech in 2013. Like, watching it on TV isn't the same because they do focus on John Cena so much, so it makes it kind of obvious that, like, John Cena's there. And when you're watching it from, like, the cheap seats in an arena, you kind of, it was easier to forget that John Cena was there because Mark Henry's just there in his resplendent salmon jacket, like, working you, and you're chanting sexual chocolate and getting caught up in the moment. That's just one of those ones that I love revisiting too, because it, I don't know, it reminds me of being there live, and it just, it was a great moment in history and it was very cool. I think we have time for one more. Anthony Fitzpatrick wants to know, do you have a favorite top three wrestling books you can recommend, or maybe just a couple? Also, are you getting merch? We are getting merch. Stay tuned for that. I'm very excited about it. That will be forthcoming. I don't know. Do you have any favorite wrestling books that you'd recommend to people?
Gosh, let me see. To be honest, I don't really read wrestling books that much. The Mick Foley, Have a Nice Day. Like, that's great. Like, that is really good. I finished not that long ago. It took me like a good few times because I'm a nightmare with books. Like, I like to start something and then I'll go. It's the same as TV shows. Like, I'll watch something and then I go, oh, my interest. I'm like a magpie. Like, my interest. Just, same. Like, I collect
everything
shiny.
And then just hoard it.
Absolutely. I'm like, oh, that's a bit shiny. I'll start that. So I finished Slobberknocker Sessions by Jim Ross. That was really good. It was actually really interesting. I'm trying to think which one. I've only read one of Jericho's books. I can't remember which one it is, to be honest. Lionheart.
Was it the Lion's Tale, the first one?
Lion's Tale.
That's his early career.
That's it. Yep. So I enjoyed all three. Like, I really, really did. So I think Mick Foley's a fantastic writer. Like, he just writes really easily. Like, see, even if you're not a good like not a good reader, but do you know what I mean? You don't enjoy reading as much. Or, uh-huh. Like I do really enjoy reading, but I prefer kind of like fictiony stuff.
Well, his prose style is very like conversational, and it does feel like exactly. Him telling you stories, which is great.
You can rattle through it. Yeah, it's really easy to read, really, really easy to read. So that would be my suggestions.
Yeah, definitely all three that you've recommended are great. I would say Too Sweet, the independent wrestling book that Keith Elliott Greenberg just wrote. It's new. I love it. I think it's great.
Have you read it already?
Well, I've read part of it. I have it on my bed, like right next to me now. It's the part that I have read is great. I'm also really terrible at just sitting down to read a book, but I really enjoy it a lot. And, you know, independent wrestling has my heart. So if you want to hear kind of different stories, I think it's just really well done. I mean, he's an excellent writer.
Yeah.
I would say if you want fiction books about wrestling, the series Blood Red Turns Dollar Green by Paul O'Brien is excellent. It's basically like a mafia book, but about the professional wrestling industry.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Kenny interviewed the author years ago, like when the books were first starting to come out, and I bought all three of them on Kindle, blew through them, even though I'm terrible at reading books. Like they're incredible. So just like really good. If you like crime drama type stuff.
I do, Sandra.
And wrestling.
I do. I like all these things.
So I feel like these things are all right up your alley. There may be audiobook versions. I can't remember. But yeah, Blood Red Turns Dollar Green by Paul O'Brien. Sisters of the Squared Circle is another great one about women's wrestling that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I guess those would be my three just kind of off the top of my head. And I am going to do one more just because it's something we've talked about, and we can just kind of let the people know. Maddie Boo is this person's name.
Is that a Halloween name?
Yes, Halloween name. Would you be having some honorary posse members join you from time to time? I'd love to hear the occasional Molly Spartan or other ladies from the wrestling world. And have you heard of the Church of Joshi live streams on Twitch and YouTube? I have not seen any of the Church of Joshi stuff. I have heard of it, and it is something that I'm interested in checking out if I get time, for sure. But Jen and I actually talked about this when we were trying to come up with a format for this show, which clearly we are not sticking to a format because we can't be boxed in. But we'd actually love down the road to have some guests. And, you know, having Molly Spartan on from time to time or having people pop in is not entirely out with the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. And it doesn't, I know that obviously like Sandra and I are of the ovary persuasion, but you know, it doesn't need to be female. Like we could potentially have some male posse members joining us.
We are open to men and non-binary folks joining us from time to time. It'd be fun to have some guests.
Everyone is welcome here. This is such a fun safe space, so like everyone is welcome. So you know, there could be some, there might be some in the works. You never know.
We could be plotting and scheming behind the scenes. You know, we're all about it.
Always.
Always. Well, I think that's going to be enough for us. So thanks everyone for tuning in. As you know, this show is available on itrwrestling.com every Wednesday, and it will be available on our Podomatic or podcast RSS feed the following day. So if you're listening to this on the feed and you're like, why did it take me 2 days to listen to this show? I would like to hear it sooner. Go over to itrwrestling.com, go to the podcast section. You'll be able to find us every Wednesday. And where can people get in touch with you on social media if they would like to sing your praises, Jen?
I was going to say only good vibes, I'm afraid. But yeah, no, if you want to get in touch with me, get me on Twitter and Instagram @JenLouise_.
And you can find me on Twitter @SandraRuthITR. You can find me on Instagram @SandraRuth. If you want to support Inside the Ropes, follow Twitter and Instagram @Inside_TheRopes. We're really trying to get more of an Instagram following so we can get to 10,000 like followers so that we can get the swipe up feature for links, which would be super helpful to direct people to our YouTube shows and interviews and that kind of thing. So if you're not following us on Instagram and you would like to, or even if you wouldn't like to, but you don't mind supporting us, we would really, really appreciate
you
it.
You can
honestly
mute it if you really want.
You can follow us and mute it. Like we're not gonna know. It'll be fine. Like we're totally cool with it.
I will know. I will hunt you down and I will just spam you.
Oh, if only we had the time. But other things in the works, of course, the best way to support Inside the Ropes, patreon.com/insidetheropes. You get tons of bonus content from me. I do retro ITR with Kenny every week. You get bonus stuff from Kenny and Finn. It helps keep Inside the Ropes, the podcast network, going. And it's been especially helpful in all of these COVID times. If you are interested in the Inside the Ropes magazine, which I also write for and I'm working on another article for currently, insidetheropesmagazine.com for subscriptions there. Like I said, youtube.com/insidetheropes if you want to hear interview content. And I think that's all the plugs I'm going to go for today.
I was going to say, I was like, Sandra, you need like a nap. Like, you do too much.
I'm used to doing this at the end of the main Inside the Ropes one. And you know what? I might as well plug it here too, because I'm involved in all of these things. Not so much the YouTube, but like, I don't know. I'm just used to saying it. It's fun. And I mean, everything can be found at itrwrestling.com, our new website. So please check us out there. Thank you so much to everyone for supporting us. Get in touch. Let us know what you think of this show. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.